relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Welcome, dear friends, to a very special version of America First. This is our new one-on-one. We might have to rework that logo because it's going to be one-on-two today because we have two of the most committed, robust freedom fighters who've agreed to come in studio today, none other than Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz, congressman, congresswoman extraordinaire. Welcome in studio.
Thank you.
Oh, it's good to be with you. Now, you know, I know you initially extended the offer for one-on-one to me, Seb, but I can't, you know, Sonny, you don't want Sonny without Cher.
Are you going to give out every right? secret, I mean, every background
yeah.
secret
yeah, well,
we have
that's
here.
What people tune in to get the behind-the-scenes
it's
stuff.
It's true, though. I texted you. I said, yes. Well, she'd come in, would you come in, and then maybe both of you.
Hey, listen,
oh, yeah. We're all for it.
Because you've been doing this tour, right? You've been doing this tour.
We've toured America. We've tried to tour prisons. We've tried to go into the Department of Justice. And we seem to be on a tour of the United States Congress. In some ways, because we're treating the job very differently than a lot of our colleagues.
So I think it was Thursday last week you guys tried to go into a prison and you were first time ever prevented from going. I mean, usually you're not allowed to break out, right?
Right, yeah. Usually people are locked in prison, but we were actually locked out of prison.
Like, literally locked out. They locked the door.
Okay, we've got to talk about everything you're doing. We've already made a long list before we started. First things first, can I tell you a little background story. We're waiting for you guys to arrive. And there's many reasons to like both of you. We can talk about it and we will through the hour. But you know one of the greatest reasons? We're prepping, doing our pre-production, eating a slice of pizza. And one of my guys goes, this is going to be a zoo in a few minutes because MTG and Gaetz are arriving and their entourages. We don't have enough chairs. And I thought, entourages? Well, that's not what I'm used to with these guys. This isn't the swamp. This isn't your average politician who arrives with 48 handlers and everything else. And you arrive, both of you arrive, with one person. One, and then a few minutes later, another. So your entourage was two people. I think that tells you everything you need to know about these individuals. Okay, let's start with what I think is the most serious, it may be tactical, but it's the most serious issue. We have Americans in prison, in solitary, accused of being in an insurrection, who are actually being charged with, what is it, interrupting an official proceeding? And you tried to see these people. Tell us what happened when, was it on Thursday you tried to visit?
So here's an important frame, Dr. Gorka. You know, every month in America, members of Congress tour detention facilities. Congresswoman Greene was recently...
I just came back from one.
Just at one on the border. Democrats got to tour detention facilities during the Trump administration. Republicans have toured some detention facilities under the Biden administration. This is not an unusual thing. Right. And so we wanted to see the conditions that the January 6th detainees were facing. And really, it's an opportunity for us to see how the correction system is working more broadly. We put a lot of money into that system through the First Step Act. And so this is part of Congress's normal oversight function.
Oversight. Right.
We were called trespassers.
By the authorities running the prison, correct?
When we went into the lobby, we came in, we instantly
official
produced
delegation and congressional.
Yes.
Sent
members
a letter in advance, not unannounced.
Yes, okay. Let them know we were coming. We have been sending letters asking questions for months now.
This is a federal facility.
Federal prison. Yes. We got no answers, so we decided we'll go ourselves, let them know we were coming. We go into the lobby, produced our identification. It was Matt Gaetz, myself, Louis Gohmert, Paul Gosar, produced our identification, showed them who we were, waited in the lobby, and then they told us to wear masks. Of course, we put on our mask. And when a woman came out to speak with us, she told us we were trespassing as we're standing in the lobby. That
so an official told you from the prison that as congressional members, you are trespassing on a federal facility paid for by us, the taxpayer.
Yeah, I don't know who they think appropriates these funds, but it gets even worse. after we were accused of trespassing.
Wait, then we went outside.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. Go right ahead.
We went outside just real quick, Matt. We went outside to speak to the supervisor. We were told they were outside. When we went outside to the supervisor, they locked the doors and would not let us back in. That is literally what happened at a federal prison.
Isn't there some legal tools here? I mean, you are supposed to have oversight as members of Congress. And the House has oversight of spending.
This is not just offensive to the four members of Congress that went and attempted to conduct our official duties. It is offensive to the Congress at large.
Right.
Because what it is saying is that you don't have a right to see what the Biden regime is up to behind closed doors. In normal circumstances, Republicans and Democrats would join together to be offended by this and to take action against it.
If you can't find out, if you guys can't find out what's happening in a federal prison, nobody can.
Oh, right. I'm concerned for the entire prison population, not just the January 6th detainees. I'm concerned for all of them because that prison is being run by people who are so defiant to members of Congress that they call us trespassers and then lock us out. And we vote to fund their facility.
Right.
So there's an even more recent development. The D.C. Department of Corrections puts out a statement following our visit that, in addition to lying, suggests that we compromised the safety and security of the staff and of those who are at this particular facility just by showing up and seeking a tour. How is their facility so fragile that a tour would compromise the safety of the people there?
Well, then it should be shut down.
Totally.
If two unarmed members of Congress with IDs...
Four.
...compromise the security of a prison...
Right.
Shut it down.
Members of the Judiciary Committee.
Right.
Paul Gosar, Oversight Committee. Louis Gohmert, Judiciary. He's also a former judge.
So here's the next question. If you look on social media, a lot of the 73 million who voted for Donald Trump have had it with the GOPs, and we wrote a letter too.
Right.
Okay? So what happens next? I mean, let's go back to why you went there, why you visited.
These are
Americans who are in solitary on trespass charges, some of them grandmothers, when BLM Antifa don't spend a day in prison.
Well, while canceling us online, while pursuing us in real life, the Biden administration also believes they can ignore our questions. Right. So this wasn't just a sua sponte visit, right? For months, reasonable, rational questions have been totally ignored. So the first thing we did was show up at the Department of Justice.
We did that on Tuesday.
You know,
Tuesday, okay.
And we said, hey, look, we've got five members of Congress.
On the same issue?
To ask questions about the civil rights issues that we were curious about. They wouldn't even let Congresswoman Green in the lobby as there was a left-wing mob assembling to threaten our ability to even make statements.
Absolutely. And I have to tell you, Sebastian, as a woman and as a first-time member of Congress, I've never experienced that kind of treatment. I have so many death threats. It's unreal. And the Department of Justice left us all out on the sidewalk. And I really was concerned for our safety as I was looking down each different direction of the sidewalk, seeing all these leftists and activists coming in because we had put out a press release that we were going so that we could provide information to the press and share it with the American people. Well, here comes all the leftists and the crazy activists that are paid, and here they're coming. And they would not even, I asked, can we please wait in the lobby for security reasons? And they would not even let us pass the bike racks.
This is where I get angry. This is where I say this is out of control.
Totally.
When a woman, I don't care whether she's a congresswoman or not, it can't be safe because a federal entity says, no, you can't come into the building.
At the Department of Justice.
So what next? What next?
Well, you know, I think a lot of members of Congress would just sort of get into a letter writing campaign. But we don't do that. We show up. That's why we showed up at the DOJ. And asked our questions.
We don't believe letters work.
No, and when we got ignored there, that's why we showed up at the prison. You know, and we're going to continue to be active and in the face of this Biden administration that is totally out of control. And, you know, what would be helpful would be some additional support from some of our Republican colleagues.
Absolutely.
Here's the question I get from a lot of constituents. Well, they get to see Adam Kinzinger crying the day away, and they get to see Liz Cheney arm in arm with Adam Schiff. But where are the tough Republicans asking the real questions about January 6th? So Marjorie
well,
and I...
Well, in all fairness, we have a few. We have a few.
No, but it's a handful.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
It's the guys who are guests on my show. Right.
Yeah, but instead,
right.
but I mean, there are over 200 Republicans in the United States Congress, and you know, a small handful that are actually fighting. And so, you know, we have just said, look, if there's not going to be an intense Republican effort, we will build it. Gohmert,
yep.
Gosar, Green, Biggs, Gates, the names you know, the names you trust, and we'll be out there doing it with or without the backing of our leadership and with or without the permission of Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, and you know, Sebastian, I've told you this over and over. I think Congress is completely broken, and so we are going to redefine the way members of Congress get things done.
I think, if I may, you know, as the host here, I think we got to go bigger than that. It's not just Congress that's broken. It's not just the GOP. It is politics in America. We are talking to Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Georgia, Florida. Follow them, Rep. Matt Gaetz and Rep. MTG. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First 2-on-1. Relief Factor. Have you tried every other form of pain relief only to fail and not find your answer? Well, try this incredible product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, including Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. It should be you. Find out today the only way you can by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Call them at 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Matt Gaetz, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. I want to go to the big target straight away. I want to talk about... All right, we'll talk about the GOP in a moment. Let's talk about the breaking news of last week, of I think it was Thursday, with not even providing justification, with reference to an unpublished, unpeer-reviewed Indian study. The Speaker of the House has decreed that everyone has to wear masks. Staff members and visitors who don't will be arrested. The chief has allegedly climbed back because of things that you guys and your colleagues did. Let's have a little fun first. I said it on my show on Thursday. I'm very impressed that somebody has invented a force field that somehow contains COVID
the House. They invented it.
Right, the Senate.
Yeah.
So this tells you a little bit of the culture difference between the Senate and the House. You guys got to wear masks, unless you're Nancy, because Thursday night she didn't wear a mask.
No.
But in the Senate, nobody has to.
No.
So
there's a force field.
Okay, let me start right here. Let's talk about Nancy for a second. I'm fed up. I am not interested in people telling me that she is the arch strategist. I think this woman has lost it. She is Marie Antoinette on steroids and has no even sense of how what she's doing looks like from the outside. Mm-hmm. Am I crazy?
No.
You are totally wrong about this. I believe Nancy Pelosi is a master strategist. I believe she holds power and money over the rank and file in the Democratic Party. I believe she has greater control over her caucus than Paul Ryan or Kevin McCarthy or John Boehner ever had. So I don't disrespect the skill of Nancy Pelosi. And think about this. The masks aren't about health care. They aren't about masks. They aren't about science. We know that. So what are they about? Control.
Absolutely.
She wants to show a controlled opposition. She wants to show a controlled conference, and that increases her power, okay, which has always been what Nancy Pelosi has been about.
Let me push back, and then we'll get Marjorie to jump in. I'm not talking about her power over her party, which I think is pretty absolute, right? Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of that has to do with power relationships that have been established over the last 30 years. I'm talking about, does she have any idea what this will look like to the American population?
She wants us depressed, Seb.
Yeah, but at this point, who's going to trust anything that comes out of her mouth, Fauci's mouth, or but no, you know, even Democrats are going, what? Sorry, I'm vaccinated, but now my kids have to wear masks.
Yeah. Her scam, it's coming to an end because, like,
This is where I say there's a weakness.
Well,
there.
I agree with what Matt just said.
Okay.
She is a master strategist. I mean, look at what they're doing. They have everyone focused on the shiny objects.
Totally.
The mask, the vaccine passports, all this stuff.
When they should be.
January 6th committee. They're doing all this stuff when really what's happening is socialism, the Green New Deal, communist tactics. Invasion on our border. They're tearing our country to pieces while they have all of us in hysterics over mask and vaccine passports and all of this stuff.
Nancy Pelosi doesn't give a damn about COVID.
No.
If she did, she'd be shutting down the border where there is, you know, a mass influx of everything that those illegal aliens are carrying, from COVID to fentanyl to whatever.
That's right.
So let's dispense with the notion that she cares about coronavirus. When she needed votes for political power, she brought people into the chamber of the Congress with
COVID.
Coronavirus.
And she built them a box to go vote in,
right.
And yet
so
they walked around
about
the floor.
It's about imagery, and it's about power. And you're right. They know they have a crisis of credibility with their embrace of Dr. Fauci and what they've put our country and our people through. And so they're trying to have us all masked, have us all under control, with the hopes that the diminution in her credibility won't be zero sum, giving those of us who've been telling the truth more credibility. They want us wearing masks. They want us in a controlled state. And that's why Marjorie was so effective leading Republicans last week, marching through the Capitol maskless, showing that we are not going to just give in to this tyrant, to Nancy Pelosi's regime.
So let's switch to the GOP for a second. What you did last week, what both of you did at the DOJ and at the prison, is what we want to see. It's what Republican voters want to see every stinking day. Why is it that when that 12-foot fence went up with the razor wire, with the Humvees, with the M4s, it takes one of my callers, right? One of my callers to ring in with this idea. After we see the invasion of illegal immigrants with the Let Us In Biden t-shirt, guy calls up and says, you know what? I'd like to see the GOP with their voters buy t-shirts that say Biden, Nancy, Let Us In, and go to that fence in D.C. in their hundreds. I mean, I'm sorry, CNN couldn't ignore you. Nobody could ignore you. Nothing. Zip. Squanzoli. So here's my question to you. We know the left. I know the left. My dad was put in prison by communists. He was escaped from a communist prison. We understand what they're doing. Is the bigger threat we face today not the establishment GOP?
The biggest threat we face today is inaction and the refusal to stand up to, you know what it is? You know what, you know, like a snow globe with glass? It's really thin glass. It looks like you can't break it, but honestly, it is so fragile. What Nancy Pelosi is holding together it's like a bunch of scotch tape that the people could go right through. And I don't mean through violence. I mean literally by just getting into action. And if our GOP leadership, if Republican members in Congress would say, we've had enough, we don't care about the political consultants, we aren't worried about the polls, we don't care about what the media is going to say about us, if they would actually get into action like Matt and I are, we could completely shatter that thin glass globe.
So you're saying yes,
but you're,
they are the problem.
But you're asking, I think, a question that millions of listeners are asking, which is, who is going to fight for us? Who is going to lead us? Who can we trust? Because more and more, when you see these typical Republicans and their typical talking points, there's not a real belief that they're gonna lead us in a battle against the ideas of socialism that would destroy our country, that destroyed, you know, destroyed your homeland.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's my perspective. It is all about the money. Follow the money. When Republicans get together on Capitol Hill to have strategy meetings, Marjorie and I want to talk about, Let's fight these mask mandates. Let's stand up for our staff and say they're not going to get arrested because they walk in the Capitol building without a mask. And you know what all the conversation's about? How do we get the lobbyists and the political action committees to donate to us again? Literally, at the last meeting we had that should have been about these issues that we're discussing on America First Radio, the principal issue discussed was money and about how to re-ingratiate ourselves to the lobby corps.
It's unbelievable. We only had one meeting this week. While all of this stuff is happening, the country's on fire. We had one meeting, one conference meeting. It was all about fundraising, where there were charts, giant charts about how much each of us have raised and donated to the NRCC, like shaming charts. And then there were altar calls. Donate your money. Donate your money. So this is what's happening. You know what they should have been doing? We should have been meeting every single day for as long as we could to figure out how to fight and stop this insanity and communist takeover.
I feel your blood pressure rising. And so I want you to take a breath here and realize this as well. The people giving the money want the free flow of illegal immigrants across the border. Right. So I mean, those issues are tied. If you want to know why every Republican in America isn't raising Cain every hour of every day about the border, it's because they think if they're soft or tepid on the border, that maybe the PACs that want cheap labor will again find them in their favor.
We'll back them. All right. You're not helping my blood pressure.
It's the truth. People should know.
It's the truth.
And they should. And I'm going to share a story with
There's
you guys.
There's very few that will tell it.
I'm going to share a story with the millions of listeners and viewers we have right now. So I'm Sebastian Gorka. We're talking to Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida. It might be a cliche when you say you are what you eat, but it is absolutely true. Eating the right food ensures your body gets the nutrients it needs to maintain your health. And that includes, whether you like it or not, guys, I'm sorry, fruits and vegetables. If you're not a big fan, and most of us guys aren't, you still need to eat them. Do what I do. Dr. Douglas Howard's Balance of Nature is a game changer. Just vegetables, just fruit, freeze-dried into six little capsules. Three red for fruit, three green for vegetables that provide you 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables your body needs and craves. Be the healthiest you can be. Dr. Howard's going to give you 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order if you use my name. If you're worried about your health, just do this for your wife, for your mother, for your children, for your grandchildren. 800-246-8751, balanceofnature.com, promo code Gorka. A few years ago, my wife and I got to know Congresswoman Bachman, and we helped her with some national security issues.
Especially, patriot.
Wonderful lady, sorely missed. And after she arrived in D.C. after her victory, we met her for a working lunch. And she told me a story that I found hard to believe back then. And everything you've just told me and what you told me in the members' dining room 4 years ago confirmed. She said, I hadn't moved my furniture. I hadn't moved into my congressional office before the then, was it minority whip, majority whip, whoever it was, the then congressional leadership had already called me up and told me, you have to raise $100,000 by the end of the month.
Well, the price has gone way up since Congresswoman Bachman's day.
I mean, $200,000. Yeah. But the fact was, it wasn't issues. It wasn't what her constituents wanted. It wasn't why she was elected. It's how much money are you putting in the GOP's kitty in 3 weeks' time? And you're saying it's just got worse.
Well, I mean, that's how you get committee assignments.
Yeah. That's right. The more money you raise, the better committee assignments.
And you told me in that dining room that what I asked you and Jim, how many good guys are there? And I said, it looks like there's not a lot of you. And you gave me the breakdown. You said the majority of them are failures, or just want to whatever. And then the guys who are really passionate want to get the office with the fireplace and the chauffeur living SUV.
That is exactly
on the
right.
GOP side.
Well, but I think things are changing.
I think so, too.
Because we're getting these moms that are running for school board, and they're going to be our next round of congressional candidates. The way we reload the America First movement is to find more Marjorie Taylor Greene-style moms
and
to get them to run.
I want an army of them. I do.
All right. So let me get a little bit personal. So last night I go out for dinner with just four guys who are super MAGA, good guys. One works in the swamp. One's a doctor. One's a defense guy. And at the end of this meeting of minds, I just thought, we have no leadership. It's not just on the Hill. We have the handful of insurgents like yourselves, but we don't have that Tea Party movement. We don't have the civilian leadership that's going to, you know, for example, Chicago. 82 people shot last week, 12 murdered. Why isn't there an anti-BLM made up of black GOP voters who say, you want to talk about black lives? Let's talk about Chicago.
Well, ask yourself this question. If the Republican National Committee isn't doing just what you described,
right, what are they doing?
What is their purpose? I know that the Republican National Committee is spending a lot of money to advertise Ronna McDaniel's podcast, but every nickel that has gone into that endeavor should be going into the build out of an organization and an infrastructure. By the way, to do what the Democrats did, we dunk on the Democrats a lot, but let's give them credit where credit's due. You know, they went and found a way to get millions of ballots in the mail that were not directly attached to a human being attending to vote. Uh-huh. That is not an easy task. They went and trained up their best. And we have to have a real inward look, not at the policies. We're on the right side of the policies with the America First agenda. Mm-hmm. But we've got to take these thousands of people that show up to hear Marjorie Taylor Greene on the road.
Or the rallies.
And we've got to train them.
Right.
And we have got to empower them. It's not enough just to be tweeting and to be, you know, texting your liberal woketopian relatives. You got to get in the game and learn how to assess ballots, how to sign up and organize voters. And when we do that, these ideas will carry us to victory.
So yes. You mentioned her. I'll ask both of you, Marjorie. My good friend, my Newsmax colleague, Jenna Ellis, has declared war on Ronna McDaniel. As far as I'm concerned, after last November, Ronna has to go. Does Ronna have to go?
Absolutely.
Good.
If there's a failure, it's like if you're working a job on a job site, if I have a crew that can't do the job or they screw it up, they're fired. It's
right.
That simple.
Right.
It should function the same way in politics. If you have leadership that fails, that doesn't stop cheating in the elections, that thinks they're just going to ride the Trump train in, meanwhile they really don't support him, then yeah, they need to be fired. If anyone involved in the Republican Party now does not support President Trump, then they should be fired because they failed him. And that's what I firmly believe.
Ronna?
In my experience, Romneys always show their true colors in the end. You know,
that's Ronna Romney McDaniel.
Yeah. It is very disappointing that we lacked technical proficiency that the Republican Party should have put together again.
Or a backbone. When you talk to Rudy, you talk to Jenna, you talk to Bernie Kerik, the fact that they just didn't want to fight. The lawyers, the official lawyers, didn't want to fight.
But the reason is that they misunderstood Marjorie's state. The reason there's this resentment in the Republican Party right now is all about Georgia. You see, the establishment think that if we'd have surrendered sooner, we would have animated our voters more in Georgia.
That's right.
Whereas Marjorie and I think if we would have fought harder,
I know it.
We would have given our voters a reason to show up.
That's the difference.
That's right. I know for a fact. Matt just said it perfectly. If you want to know something, if Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue had said from the beginning while they were in that runoff going into January 5th that they were going to fight for Trump, that they were going to object to these Joe Biden fraudulent Electoral College votes, I can tell you right now, every Republican in Georgia would have turned out to the polls hard and fast and voted them back in, but they stayed home because
they were
angry.
Cautious and they were tactical.
They didn't want to upset Mitch McConnell.
They weren't just cautious, they weren't just tactical inside baseball. One of those candidates refused to do an interview with one of my colleagues who actually has the biggest show on Salem. She was scared.
Isn't this the biggest show on Salem?
No, Hank, I'm the new guy.
I mean,
I'm the new guy.
I assumed this was the biggest show.
Somebody who's been in on radio for 42 years.
All
I've
right.
been in it for 2 years. and he would have been a friendly interview. And she was afraid.
Who's she afraid of? Mitch McConnell? Because Mitch McConnell hates President Trump.
Okay, so we have a lot of stuff to discuss. So much to discuss. What's the most difficult thing about eating healthily? There's only one thing. Does it taste good? You can eat lots of healthy things,
and they're just not yummy. One company is changing all that. It's called Uprising Food, and they have cracked the code on healthy eating. Starting with healthy bread, you cannot find something this healthy, and it is shipped to you fresh. It's delicious. It is the best I have ever tasted when it comes to healthy food. Whether you're paleo, whether you're keto, whether you simply want to lose weight and eat healthily, you've got to check out Uprising Food. They have made fiber delicious, and fiber is the key. You've got to check out the ingredients: almonds, apple cider vinegar, olive oil, psyllium husk. It is the key not only to health food, but also to gut health, one of the most important things that you can do for your body. When it comes to taste, this is the healthy food you will want to eat. It's bigger than just a product. Their mission is to liberate all of us from a broken food system that's stealing our health. Go to uprisingfood.com, use code GORKA to get $10 off your starter bundle. It's like a mini trip to the grocery store minus all the unhealthy distractions, shipped directly to your door. Uprising Food, with healthy bread, healthy chips. Find out today your answer to healthy living, and it's so easy. Uprisingfood.com, promo code GORKA for $10 off. I love it. So will you.
I've got a couple of things to do with next year in 2024. What's on your list? What do we still have to cover?
You will not believe this, Dr. Gorka, but last week, Marjorie and I had to listen for half an hour on the floor of the House of Representatives where the Progressive Caucus was saying that they wanted to use the budget reconciliation process, which is just intended to line up revenue and federal expenses as a way to do an end run around the filibuster and to create a path to citizenship for every single illegal alien in America. And in making painful. The case for this, I felt your blood pressure rise earlier. Marjorie almost exploded in that place when they started calling the Customs and Border Patrol officers racist.
Yeah, they were. They were calling them racist.
And who was this? Who was talking?
This was Pramila Jayapal of Washington. She said, CBP is a racist organization. Now, Marjorie and I have just returned from visits to that mission. These people are predominantly non-white.
Yeah.
These people are patriots. And,
absolutely.
And they are so frustrated that we were right there with the Trump policies of the wall and the asylum reform and stay in Mexico.
The remain in Mexico policy.
And they feel so disrespected by a Biden administration that wants them to fail. That's
and
really the key.
Calls them racist.
Well, that's the key to the Biden border policy. He wants it to not work.
Okay, so let me run this past you guys. And I'm... Apologies to my team who've heard me ask this of every guest that I care about. I want your reaction. I think he's still the smartest guy in politics. About 2.5 months ago, Speaker Gingrich said the following: the rapidity and the depth of the radicalism that we are witnessing from the Democrats right now is really a function that they know they're going to get trounced next year, and they want to cram it all in now.
Of course they do.
All right.
Because if they can get H1, think about this.
It's over.
It's over. If they can get rid of the filibuster, it's over. They know their time is short. They know it's radical. They know their own voters are not going to go along with it. But they're right there at the edge, and they just have to punch across. That's what they're trying to do.
Matt,
that's why Nancy Pelosi does not care.
Matt.
I think about this a lot because I see the way they've treated Marjorie. And I wonder, do they realize that if we get the power back, we could do it to them? And I think that informs on how long
they expect that.
They
expect the lack of morality that they have to come from us.
Well, and should it, right? So if let's assume the Republicans took control and we unanimously elected Dr. Sebastian Gorka to come in and lead us as speaker, right? Would you remove Adam Schiff and Maxine Waters from their committee assignments the way they did Marjorie? Would you remove
Eric
Swalwell?
Touch the ground. Their feet wouldn't touch the ground.
Well, I have concern that our leadership will not show the fangs that the Democrat
they refuse to
showed.
Punish Cheney and Kinzinger.
Yeah, we won't even. We have the power right now to remove Cheney and Kinzinger, and we won't.
And we won't.
So who really believes that we're going to remove Maxine Waters for inciting violence, remove Adam Schiff for lying to the country, remove Ilhan Omar for anti-American behavior?
So are we doomed as long as we have cowards running everything?
Our move. You mentioned the Tea Party earlier. And what I think that highlights is that our movement is always at its strongest when it's bottom up.
Yes.
You know, when we when we have the energy, because what it does is it fuels the pool of candidates, and we'll get a better team of fighters
than we have
now. Well,
I consider
you
guys to be bottom up citizen politicians.
Yeah, look, we're backbenchers for all practical purposes.
You're not political
class
politicians.
I'm never going to get a chairmanship on a committee.
No, but we think that the American people value fighters more than this ambiance of political prestige. And we'll see.
Matt, what we have to do, though, is when we do get this new class of fighters that we know are coming, we have to make sure that we keep leading them. And we will.
Yes. Or kicking
point.
Them under the table. Can I get you out of your comfort zone for a second? All right. So you're on the Hill. You're in Congress. I want to share with you my concern as a former White House appointee. My old boss, who I saw about a month ago, is going to run. I know he's going to run. I think if Kamala and the man who bears the title of president continue to destroy this country, I think he will be back in the White House. However, I'm very concerned for two reasons, and I'd love you to comment on it, even if it's not your bailiwick. Firstly, he's already got a lot of people around him who he shouldn't have around him, who he had around him for the last 5 years, who do not have his interests or the nation's interests at heart. That's something that maybe I can help with, maybe not. The bigger issue is what we went through in the White House. When we walked into the White House, it is not an exaggeration that there were less than 20 of us in senior positions who believed in America First, understood why a non-politician had been elected for the first time ever, and were loyal to the vision of the people who elected him. The rest, as Bannon admitted in an interview, he said, we did a, quote, drug deal with the GOP to fill the rest of the posts. Mm. So there were like 18 MAGA guys, 100, 200, 22-year-olds running the front office.
Yeah, I wouldn't let any more Green Bay Packer fans do the HR for the White House, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I know. And then Kelly fires the one guy who's actually loyal to the president, and we bring him back 6 months before the end of the administration. So, John McKenty, God bless you, but, you know, we needed you from day one till the end.
Oh, John McAtee was really the only fountainhead of good HR in the White House.
No. I completely concur. So here's my issue I'd like you to comment on as Americans and voters and taxpayers. We have 3 years until, God willing, we win. I don't see anyone building the bench we didn't have 5 years ago. It's not happening. And it takes about 18 months to build a bench. Mm-hmm. 4,000 political appointees. You know the conservative movement better than anyone. Why isn't it being done? Can somebody do it?
Well, as a strategist, you would first point us to the actions of the enemy. What did the Joe Biden group do? They went up and they went and set up the Biden Center at UPenn. Yeah. They had the Chinese fund it. Yeah. And then they had a lot of people with big six-figure jobs there getting ready to go into the administration. Right. Donald Trump's biggest failure as president was HR. He would admit that. Jeff Sessions, Mattis, Tillerson. These are some of the biggest positions in the government. The people I see doing the best work to build out that bench are over at America First Legal. People like Stephen Miller, utilizing the legal process, getting together some talent. And I'm a big fan of the things that they're doing, particularly on immigration. But Trump's blessing was that he wasn't a swamp monster.
Yes.
The detriment is that when he got into Washington, he needed sort of some Washington Sherpas, and they did not always lead him in the best direction regarding HR.
Do you agree?
Well, I would go a little bit of a different route. So I wasn't here when he was building his administration.
You saw it. You're a taxpayer.
I saw it from the outside, though.
Right.
But here's what I feel that's happening right now in the GOP, and the reason why we aren't capable. We're not even to a point to build a bench. Is we're fighting for our identity.
Oh, that's true.
Now, see, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. The people that are in charge of the GOP, haven't fully embraced the fact that they are not supported by 70% of the base, even though the base is screaming at them every single day that we don't support you, we support President Trump.
Well, that's because they think President Trump is an anomaly who's going
to
disappear.
Well, they, yeah, they're still trying to get rid of him. They're like, oh, we've got a few more years. People forget. Mm-hmm. But people are not going to forget. And that's why we're incapable right now. We are fully incapable of building a bench because we are still fighting them and forcing them to realize President Trump's not going away. America First is not going away. And if you people do not get it and hear what the people are saying, we are going to remove you and take you out, and we will replace you from the bottom up. Exactly. And that's what's going to happen.
Well, the establishment is established for a reason. They're good at it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They fund all these think tanks in town. They are intertwined with a lot of traditional media. And they have a way to, you know, look, we won. The populists, the outsiders, we won with Trump. And yet they got the bounty with a lot of the top positions in the administration. And what that meant was Trump had this vision. But then the people who needed to kind of, you know, execute that vision were at times working against it. I mean, you look at Anonymous, right? They were working. So I think that in a way, maybe this 4 years with a break in Trump's term of power is what we need to build that bench. We have to look at it maybe like a blessing in disguise. We've got this time period to go and do the preparation to make the second term of Donald Trump greater than ever before.
I would say so. You want to know why? Everyone sat back and just let President Trump do it by himself, which is what always made me angry. They were like, oh, Trump will do it. Trump's going to take care of that. Trump will pay for it. I mean, that's really how everyone treated him. And President Trump is one of the most kind, gracious men I've ever met in my life. And I would say that's his biggest weakness. Is he so generous and kind to people?
If he came back in and announced Dr. Sebastian Gorka as his pick for National Security Advisor, they would do things to you that would make the Michael Flynn thing look like a game of patty cake.
Oh, yeah. I know.
But that might be what he needs to do.
But there's only one position I'm going to accept, if you're watching, sir, and that's ambassador to the United Nations so I can burn it to the ground. So if you need me, I'll be there. Okay.
The United Nations would voluntarily leave the United States if you were appointed ambassador. We wouldn't even need to kick them out.
I'm going to second that.
They would leave faster than Biden left Bagram Air Force Base.
All right. We haven't mentioned it. It's a huge, huge issue when it comes to our freedom. Masks, I refuse to wear a mask. I've never got vaccinated. I'm not going to get vaccinated. Mandated vaccines in the U.S. military.
Oh, Marjorie's been leading on this.
Oh, vaccines and masks. Oh, my gosh. So I have a bill, We Will Not Comply Act.
I love it.
Very important bill. This would allow people to sue any organization, school, college, business, government, whatever, if they are being segregated or discriminated against in any way, shape, or form regarding masks and vaccines. So this is a massive issue to the American people. I'm suing Nancy Pelosi right now. If anyone wants to know information, speakermaskhole.com, because that's what she is, a mask hole, speakermaskhole.com. But I'm suing her because she fined me.
For not wearing a mask.
That's discrimination in the workplace. It's also a violation of the 27th Amendment. Yes, for not wearing a mask. On the same day, guess what? She wasn't wearing a mask either. And there's a picture of that in our lawsuit that we filed. Another issue, though, is as a mom, my children have been vaccinated, but not with COVID-19 vaccines. And I'll tell you why. They shouldn't have to be. They're healthy.
Yeah.
And this is a virus that only attacks, unfortunately, our elderly, our you know, population of people that are compromised with their health through obesity and other health issues. But guess what? Those people are also at risk of other things that can kill them, very sadly. And this virus isn't like polio. The left loves to say it is.
Polio
had a death rate of over 22%. But not COVID-19.
Can I, if you missed the radio show, guys, please, because this is the thing that crushes me the most. It's the children I see every day at the playground next to my house who have masks on. Just tell them it is a 0.05% mortality for children in America. Not 5%, not 1%, not 0.5%, 0.05. It is child abuse.
It is child
to
abuse.
Vaccinate and mask your children, please.
Do you believe that 10 years from now, these 5- and 6-year-olds that have had to wear masks throughout the day are going to have serious social, emotional problems?
Speech. I mean, they're going to have speech issues.
And when you grow up, part of learning how to interact with others and learning empathy and care for
facial
others
recognition.
Is, you know, how people's faces respond to how you communicate. I'm worried that we're going to have, like, I don't even know if I can say this on the radio, but like a generation of resting bitch face, you know, for the, you
know. They may not know how to react.
And real psychological
problems.
That is
very sad, yes.
Okay, what do you say to those who consider themselves conservatives, say, yes, federal government can't do this, this is wrong, unconstitutional, my body, my choice. But if I have a private business, I have the right to say, you can't come in.
These private businesses leveraged the largesse of the American dollar and the American taxpayer to stay afloat during, you know, these pandemics.
That's right.
And for them to ask for the taxpayer to show them grace and generosity, and then for them to turn on their customers like this is really problematic for me. But there's a special group of people that matter a lot to us, and I know a lot to you because you taught at the War College, and that is our military. We are getting breaking news that as this show is playing, the Biden administration is accelerating the requirement that our military be forced to take this vaccine. This will shock you. Every year there's a National Defense Authorization Act. And every year we debate, well, you know, what does that mean for the trans, you know, service members, or don't ask, don't tell, all these things. I serve notice that this year I'm going to offer an amendment to that bill to say that the military will not require anyone to take an experimental vaccine of any kind. I have been given recent notice that they will use a procedural ground to even deny a vote on that amendment because they say, well, that deals with the FDA, so you have to have a separate bill and you can't include it in the National Defense Authorization Act.
So, then what?
Well, what that shows is that the Democrat leadership wants to protect their members from actually having to take a vote on this.
Right.
This is nonsense. This is an outrageous abuse of the process. They want to force these healthy, young service members.
Yeah,
I mean, these are men and women with like 8% body fat.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're telling them they have to do this and they have no choice. I think about the young man who came to me recently and said, my wife put up with 8 tours in Afghanistan that I went to. And she said to me, if the military requires me to take this vaccine, I must retire. That is exactly the kind of young man we want. Protecting our country.
Absolutely.
And are they just doing this to drive out people that believe in personal liberty so they can build some sort of Maoist military force with the new woke-topian generals at the Department of Defense? Is that what this is about?
So will McCarthy stop the NDAA if they include that?
I think Republicans have to have a real talk about this because I don't talk to service members about issues more important to them than this. It used to be all about, hey, look, Obama left us with no body armor, no stuff. Well, now, because of the Trump administration, we've really built up our military. The number one issue in the military is the fear that people are going to be driven out by vaccine mandates. The second biggest fear is that they're going to be labeled white supremacists or extremists because they, you know, forwarded a joke or liked a meme or
have a
shared
MAGA
a Facebook
hat.
Post. Or now even associating with America First and MAGA is deemed racist in some literature. And really, that's self-selecting a group of people to be in the military that I think is very dangerous for our country. I think we want the military to be reflective of the patriotism throughout our land, not the select group of people curated by the woke-topians at the Defense Department.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I'd like to go back to the business issue because I was thinking about that. You know, I think that we're not a country where we're going to say you can't come in here if your skin is black, or you can't come in if you decide you're a different gender. We don't do that here, right, in America. We also should not be the country that tells our customers and our private business, you can't come in because you've made a health decision about your body and decided you just don't want to take a vaccine.
That's a great way of putting
because
it.
What if we look at the data and the facts about the spread of this virus ever since China sent it over here, thank you, Dr. Fauci. The facts are this: none of the states that were super shut down and wore masks and forced everyone to stay inside and super social distance, their rate of spread was identical and sometimes even higher than the open states.
Yeah.
So no business has an excuse to say the unclean must stay out.
Well, what's next? I mean, are we going to have passports that say that we've all been to transgender training? I mean, are we going to have passports that say that, like, we all agree with the Green New Deal? I mean, I just think that, like, look, Trump's brilliance was in Make America Great Again, unifying. We're all one. We're all together. We rise or fall as a nation. And it seems like these policies are just meant to find new and exotic ways to divide us.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. I got two last questions for you. You guys are an inspiration individually, doubly so together. Tell our millions of listeners and viewers, what is the message, not just to Georgians, not just to Floridians? What is your message right now in this very difficult time? People who've lost businesses, people who, one of our colleagues, incredibly fit, younger brothers, just got the second vaccine, driving his kids home, blacks out in the middle of an intersection. I mean, this is a tough time to think anything political. What is your message to them about why you fight and what they should think about the future?
Well, my message is simple. We only have one life to live, and we're handing this country over to the next generation, to our children, to our grandchildren. Why would we sit by and do nothing? And what kind of people would we be? We'd be the most ungrateful Americans in history. We didn't earn this freedom. We were born into it. Thank God we're blessed. So it's our time is now, and we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And so I have full hope in that, and we're just going to keep fighting.
Fabulous.
Matt. The other thing I've observed is that to win in politics in America today, you have to show up. That's why Marjorie and I are traveling the country. Folks can go to AmericaFirstRallyTour.com to sign up for our events, to financially support our effort to bring hope to every corner of this great land. I know it's tough with our border being overrun. I know it's tough with the federal government printing money for folks to stay at home instead of engaging in productivity. But this does remain the last great hope for human civilization. We are the shining example. And you know this as an immigrant to our country, as someone who cherishes your citizenship probably more than a whole lot of Americans, right? You know, we have to be the vanguards for the values and the rights and the culture of America. And if you're out there thinking that Marjorie and I can do it alone, I'll admit we can't. We need you.
We are
backbenchers in this town. We're often alone in this town, but we are never alone when we are out with the great people of this country. And whether it's a school board meeting to stand against critical race theory, whether it's a Trump rally to show the 45th president that we need him back, or whether it's giving Marjorie a hug and whispering in her ear that you love her, as I've seen so many moms do all over this country.
It's the best.
I tell you, Seb, when we go together, folks like me, but they have like an emotional experience when they're with Marjorie, and I consider it one of life's great joys to bear witness to that.
You got
to
do the workout videos, Matt. You got to try harder.
She's impressive.
All right?
She could bench press me, no doubt.
All right, so AmericaFirstRallyTour.com, right?
That's right.
On Twitter, it's RepMTG, Rep Matt Gaetz. How else can people support you guys?
MTG4America.com.
MTG4America.com.
Folks can also go to MattGaetz.com, sign up for our newsletter, and pitch in a donation. Marjorie and I are the only two Republicans in the House of Representatives who do not take corporate PAC money. So we're also two of the top fundraisers because the people in this country see value in investing in fighters. We cannot do this without you. You can go to MattGaetz.com, go to Marjorie's website. Even if you just can pitch in a couple dollars, it's something that keeps you part of something. This is a participatory movement, and it demands action.
Yes, thank you, and we're always grateful.
God bless you guys.